this show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And today we welcome Amakayla, who is singing Oya Day for the last 27 years as the intro. Amakayla, we've cahooted longer than I can know. So welcoming longtime, deep, joyful co-cahooter Amakayla, sacred ethnomusicologist, songkeeper of chants from healing traditions around the world, calling in the Orishas, executive director, founder, International Cultural Arts and Healing Sciences Institute. And then I lifted this from somewhere. It says, Amakayla is an amazing vocalist and percussionist who comes from Washington, D.C., where we met. She's studied, recorded with, and shared the stage with many award-winning artists, including Take Six and Sweet Honey in the Rock and Baba Olatunji and Mickey Hart and Gil Scott-Heron, and it goes on and on. And me. In fact, it was a year ago today that we were presenting at Bioneers on Monday, Thursday. They like doing Easter weekend. And we are not there this year because change is good, but we're here. And let me just say that at Bioneers, many, many worthy, fantastic things. Friday at 12:02 p.m., Suzanne Simard, really great. My highlights, Saturday, March 30th, last week's guest, Erica Geis, Water Always Wins. And then right after that, at 11:41 a.m., is one of my favorite trickster ally buddies in the world, Merlin Sheldrake. So do catch, that's a good back-to-back right there. And many usual and unusual suspects, so there we have it. So there we were. Yes, Amakayla, we are here to honor, well, everything about you, but your festival, Music as Medicine Fest, that we want to bring up. But again, to and fro, like we do. Yes. But it is a spooky time. It is a spooky time out there. I just heard about two people I know having psychotic breaks, or that's what the modern world calls it. So the pressure comes down and erupts through thin membranes. So we're here to do some music as medicine to fill the atmosphere with goodness.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me be here. I'm always so grateful to collaborate, cahoot with you. I feel like you are truly a sister from another mister. I've known you for 25 years. And, you know, yeah, we've been holding it down in the belly of the beast in D.C. for eons. And now we're coming to you live from California and really feeling the vibration and the goodness of, like you said, the times that are, you know, really calling to us to acknowledge and remember that we are connected to the stardust. We are considering all the magic and mystical elements of music as medicine. And I have to tell you, the first time that I really got that concept was when I was run over by a truck in a hate crime, and I had all these, they just kept telling me every day, oh, we're gonna have to cut off your legs, oh, we're gonna have to do these things. And every day I would have to listen to music while I was in the ICU to get me through. And it wasn't any music. It was truly the music of Sweet Honey in the Rock and Take Six and Brother Ah. All of those ways that we hold music in this sacred place to remind us to gather, like you say, our wits and our cellular composition and come into self, into skin, and to lift out of our bodies through the magic of music. And I was able to get through that really hard time in the hospital because of music. And that's when I was really clear, music is medicine. And so then when I went and sang for the Dalai Lama after I was able to walk again, and I told Baba Dalai Lama that this was my desire, my wish was to continue to do music as medicine. He said, oh, you must go forth and do this. This is so important. And it's so interesting, like how we really do believe that in Western medicine, this element, everything has to be separated. So I really appreciate how you pull things together, Caroline, and remind us all how everything weaves and plays together. We cannot separate one or the other. Otherwise, we stay in dis-ease. So thank you.
Reciprocal blessings, always uplifting and joyful. And what I've loved working with you through the is it's like, all right, here's what we need. Ami, call it in. And she does. She does. And I think we're humbled by horror, right? So, and as our ancestors have done, if we don't know what to do, invite in what does, what is wiser and cooler and calmer, and, you know, and skookum for the times. So before we proceed, well, let's see, we'll just dance around here. Because, you know, when we were speaking backstage, I go, the upcoming eclipse. And in an actual eclipse, when it starts to happen, it gets spooky, like the temperature drops and the winds come up and it's like, ooh. And so, you know, even now, weeks out, it's spooky. It's like, ooh. And then at the moment of totality, you know, we see the stars and everybody has a kind of spiritual orgasm and goes, oh my God, you know. And this time, you know, it is the eclipse. We will, you know, those, I'm going to go see it. To see it, we will see at totality Jupiter and Mercury and Venus and Saturn and Mars. They would all be hidden, not visible at that time in the morning or the night sky, called in the underworld, gathering mojo for the next stage of culture. But at the eclipse, we see into the underworld, right? We see what we normally don't see. And then just to tease it back to us, the sun and the moon and Chiron will be at 19 degrees Aries, 24 seconds exact. So it's a Chiron eclipse. And what we were talking about, Ami, is that, you know, Chiron is the 2,500-year-old ago centaur-mentor who starts a school for future cultural heroes. Their tasks are impossible, and they're always successful after they study with Chiron. And two of his more well-known students is he teaches Asclepius how to be the Greek god of healing, and he teaches Orpheus how to play the lute. So in antiquity, healing and music are one thing, and ancient mind peers at the modern world and says, why are you modern people always separating things that belong together? And here's Ami to put them back together. So, yeah, and then the other thing I said about Chiron is that one of the first lessons he teaches his future cultural heroes is to take bows and arrows and turn them into lutes, the transformation of war, you know, into music through music.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant. You know, it's so deep. When you said that and we were talking backstage, I remember when I was overworking with refugee children in Palestine. And, you know, it was still like the remnants of war. We were working with Iraqi refugees, and there was all of this tension on how to get the attention of the United States as refugees, how to get help, how to be kind of the one at the front of the table to receive what was being given out. And I remember this young little girl who was Palestinian came running up to me because, you know, in an attempt to really start to heal the soul of a place, you know, you try and bring music back. And so the U.S. Embassy was really crafty, and they were like, okay, we're going to do the very first Palestinian Idol. And they brought me over as like a celebrity vocal coach or whatever for these young children. And they chose, out of thousands of refugees, they chose 10 kids to be kind of the representative for their particular refugee camp. And the minute that I landed, you know, there were all of these cameras, and, you know, there's always all of this hubbub when you're doing these things, when you do these kind of cultural arts envoys. But this one little girl, she was like 11 years old. She pushed her way through the crowd, and she ran past the prime minister, and she grabbed my hand, and she started pulling me into the alleyway. And she was like, oh, I have to sing you a song. And she had learned with her limited English some words that she wanted me to share. And I just had to share with you because it really does speak to what you're talking about, how in war you heal and you transform that pain through song, I do believe. And so she sang this. She said, we are the children of Palestine. We are the children of the Holy Land. We are living in poverty in the villages, towns, and big cities. We seek a change, not charity. We seek a change, not charity. If food, shelter, and playing in school is not for me, only for you, then what is freedom? What is right? And she asked me to sing that to the president. And I was like, you know what, sister? I don't know if I can get to the president, but I'm going to sing it everywhere that I possibly can, especially when we talk about transforming war and pain into a place of healing and healing through music.
That's so powerful, great. And then it just ties us reciprocal blessing to the community to and fro. KPFA and the Middle East Children's Alliance, Mecca, yes, have partnered to raise food and medical aid funds to support Gaza's children well-being. The yes event on April 15th will be at the Freight and Salvage. That's where we were last year. It's a great place. A shout out to Freight and Salvage. Wonderful place. Yes. So KPFA's event will be on April 15th, which is KPFA's birthday, its 75th birthday. Freight and Salvage at 8 p.m. in Berkeley will celebrate, yes, KPFA's remarkable 75 years of building community trust and serve as a platform to support the Middle East Children's Alliance vital mission in Gaza. And at the event, Zaid Amrouch, executive director of MICA, will deliver a powerful message highlighting the urgency of supporting the children of Gaza. So we call back to your young friend, right, and say, mm-hmm, all right, we're doing what we can.
Yes.
And, you know, and to call in, what would you feel to call in as maybe an Orisha to make her dream real? You know, we have the solutions, you know, we want the leadership to be informed, suffused with kinship. You know, is it Obatala or whoever you feel to bring in now to make it true, make
yes
dream true?
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's perfect. Obatala is perfect. And, you know, Obatala is the Orisha of the cool mind and, you know, the big vision from the mountaintop and really getting past all the silliness that causes war, getting into that place of seeing the connections of healing and ways to be in service as a stardust child like we all are. And so let's call in Bamba.
Ooh, goosebumps through the airwaves, darling. I'm always so just we're really, you know, so it's positive Saturn, positive leadership. We're calling in for the children of Gaza, for everybody everywhere, for those people under psychotic yes stress or whatever we would really call it. That's modern term, going steadiness,
yes,
you know, and yeah. Saturn is the part of us that, is authority, contains author, is really good at dedicating, taking vows, deep delineation, and we go. And so it's the part of us we all tend most to outsource to incompetent leaders and sociopaths and anything that is daunting to us. And so for everybody, we're insourcing our authority.
Yes.
Everybody who insources their authority, we suck the chi out of tyranny. You know, and create that quality of self-possession. You know, I like to say in dodgy circumstance or with challenging people who want to be oppositional, going, may we all wake up tomorrow self-possessed rather than merely possessed. send that out there. And then, you know, just one of the beautiful things right now, well, Chiron in the sky is overhead in Berkeley, you know, with the sun. And the midheaven, when we open the show, is 21 Aries, which is the gateway to the garden of all desired things. It's like to offer to everybody, even the dementors, and bless their little cuckoo hearts, mentors are the antidote to dementors, right? So we wafted out going, here's a better story. Here's a better story. You know, you know, as Catherine Austin Fitz a million years ago, she goes, you know, horrible people could actually make more money improving the neighborhood rather than sucking it dry. It's like, come on. Come
on. That's right. Get creative in thought. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So Chiron's at 18 Aries, whose image is a magic carpet ride. So we all have a ride. We all have a ride. You know, and one of the people who was talking about, you know, her daughter in a challenging dive, but saying she says she's with a wolf spirit. And I'm like, okay, you know, we could go. But the wolf is angry. And I go, well, let's talk to the wolf anyway. So it's like many, many ways. But, you know, remember the River Jordan begins in a cave sacred to Pan, right? Mm. So when there's panic, honor Pan. Patrick O'Donohue says that when there's panic. So panic is available. It's like just even in our day, like la la la, you know, steady Obatala. Obatala and Pan, really good because Saturn and Uranus dance together. They are what make up our inner community and our outer community. But Chiron is at 18 Aries and it's got an exact 150 degree angle down to the moon in Scorpio. Who quintiles Pluto, irresistible eloquence from the underworld. And it's like, oh, we can do that. And then I just have to bring up part of your own fantastic chart. Because you, too, you have Mars at 28 Libra. I've always loved that. Whose image is men toiling in a dark pit, a woman calmly lowers a rope. All right, there's Amakela. And I love that image because it's like, oh, yoo-hoo, oh, lads in a dark pit. You know, here's a rope. You can climb out any time you want. Wait, I got stuff to do. I'll just tie the rope to a tree. And it's got a fantastic, you know, again, 150-degree angle to your Chiron at 29 Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac. Mm. And Neptune will station there on the summer solstice of 2024, and again on the winter solstice of 2025, the last degree of the zodiac. So it is as though you were born in your magic backpack with all the powerful images, all the powerful metaphors, all the orishas, all the songs that ever were or will be, you know, of transformation and medicine and change. You have those.
And they are
welcome. They are welcome, this part of us. You know, we want everything. Yeah. Yes, and then I mean, you know, because well, you know everything I've ever said or thought, but anyway, so we do know that our word, English word to dream, comes from an old English word dreamon, which meant two things: to dream and to make music. And it reminds us that making music is a way of participating in dreaming the world into being.
Yes. I'm often baffled by how our society has taken music and kind of commodified it. Like it's just in the background. It's not honored as like, you'll never like get one song that's as expensive as a Mona Lisa or something like that. And I remember I was talking to Cindy Blackman Santana, you know, that fabulous drummer that's married to Carlos Santana. And she was talking about how, as a musician, we have to remind ourselves to honor music as much as people honor visual art. And it's very intriguing to me, like, you know, how we have to talk about as we dream that dreaming is music and healing is music and all of the arts are healing. And I don't know why we don't view it as such more than we do. It feels like if you can't make a buck off a song, it's not a good song. And that's so intriguing to switch up the story about.
I have a thought. Music, of course, is invisible. Mm. And our culture is recovering from its invisible illiteracy realm. So the whole realm of backstage and the spirits and the music and everything invisible and the powerful field around everything, around every river or hand or all of our dedicated listening community. There's a field, right? And ancient world, very hip to this, right? That it was important for the musicians, you know, and to be stewarding and in touch with the invisible world. Are the ancestors okay? How's it going? The invisible field around the river, is it being honored? You know, so to segue from the invisible to the visible, and music, of course, and metaphor, do that. And so it's like, if you can't see it, it's not real, you know. But I think that's changing, and that's part of what you hold, you know, in your download and your being and your expressing, and even more and more and more, is the Death and Resurrection Show. And it's the great book by Rogan Taylor. It's out of print, but people are good detectives. They have some that, let's see, an open secret. And anyway, but it, the gist of it is he decides to do the entire history of humans gathering for stories and music as far back as we can go. And wow. He goes way back. And he says, well, usually, almost always, there's a woman calling it in. That we don't source power, we invite it. And the music is the invitation. You know, and then he takes it all the way through Greek theater and everything theater and into the modern world. And he says, we still go to concerts and even movies with some endogenous part of ourselves knowing that something powerful is going to be called in. And he says, but usually it isn't. So the modern world makes up for lack of content with, you know, men fighting in high places or some nonsense.
Wow.
So back down to, you know, again, the real content, the Death and Resurrection Show, where we call in what is needed. We go, ooh, yeah, we like that. So, and it is Holy Week. I mean, the you know, all metaphors get animated. So, you know, this is the Last Supper. Tomorrow is the crucifixion, and everything tragic in Hawaii, in Alaska has happened on Good Friday, the Exxon Valdez spill, the earthquake, and stuff. So, yeah. So it is kind of spooky, plus eclipse. So it's like, woo, and then Saturday's crypt day, and Sunday, you know, rebirth. Why not? And it goes on. But so we'll use everything. So it is, yeah, it's quirky. I don't know how we did it last year, but how did we honor like the Last Supper?
I don't know, but right now I'm thinking of a really beautiful spooky song by this amazing. Ooh. A Caribbean artist named Sparrow, and he talks about how, you know, there's the witch doctor is who calls in, just like you're saying, the invisible and the visible. And so the song goes like this. They call me the witch doctor from a land of far, specialize in Obia. My real name is Papagua. As the drums begin to play and me ring me bell, everybody clear the way, me casting me spell. I hear me sing Roger, come here Roger, Roger unumbatanda, ine ine unawa ine abracadabra, set the fires blazing and the water hot, oh Lord, it is time to put something in the pot. And then he starts listing all these very cool things that he puts into the pot, like, you know, rabbit's foot and, you know, all these very interesting things that make up the roux of the magic spell. And I think that it's not necessarily spooky, but it's definitely conjuring things that make your cells tingle and go, whoa, what's happening right now?
Right. No, work with spooky, right? That's the whole thing from the Dalai Lama's tradition. I mean, from every tradition, is the demons are most scary when they're locked out. Right. And so that's a challenging thing for modern psychotherapy. But the Tibetans have an image of the demons on the other side of a locked door going, ah, da, da, da. And then we all imagine a laser beam coming from our third eye, lasering the lock off of the door and going, come on out, you demons. No one's as scary as the Amantaka, Lord of Death. Come on out. And they come out and they're sort of silly and a little bit abashed, and they dance. Anyway, I think that's a good one I think that's a good one. You know, turn the demon into the guardian is a theme that's resonating. Hello to my yesterday client who brought that up. Right. So transforming, spiraling, doing all those things. No, that's a fabulous. So spooky time means work with spooky and track everything back to, like, what did this want to be before it got, you know, imprisoned or orthodox. Orthodox means straight teachings. We like our teachings curvy. And I hope I hope everyone was doing as I was doing when Ami was singing, which is undulating, right? Just hold your arms up into the air. It's in supplication, right? Again, come on in wonder and supplication. Come on in, because it makes it do that. So it's like nobody's watching, or even if they are, don't they'll just join in. You know, hands up. Arms wafting, invited in. that's always the thing in all of the all traditions, you know, have the exorcism in which the, like in Egypt, it's the czar, where the music takes the dancer down to the ground, to the underworld, and she thumps the earth, thump, thump, and invites the demons of the community to come on in through her body. It takes training. And she undulates and transforms them into, you know, joy, or transforms, like the wrathful Dakinis, you know, anger into wrath, fierce protection of all life. The artist, the musician, as essential to the community, to take on.
I was just agreeing, like, yes, essential to the community, yes, please.
Right. So, yeah, so, and Mercury, Elegba, just for the fun of it, right now is overhead in Berkeley and at the degree 26 plus Aries of through imagination, lost opportunities are regained. We go, oh, we could use a lot of that.
Yes, for sure.
Do you want to call in Legba?
Yes, I would love to call in Legba. Yes, open those roads so that we can get those regained things going down. Para su hayo, mama Kenya. Echo dara Kenya irawo. Para su hayo. Mama Kenya, echo dara Kenya hira o ele bara go, ele bara go, moyuba go, moyuba e o, oh bara zuayo mama Kenya. Echo dara Kenya ira o suayo mama Kenya. Echo dara Kenya ira o. Yes. Girl, you just be cooking it up. Let me tell you, folks. I just love the magic that you bring. Really and truly, you just call it in, sis, and it's really, really powerful.
Well,
to hear
everyone,
you speak.
And also. Yeah, well, the way I was a million years ago, I went to a very classy witch camp run by Starhawk, and Louisa Teach was there, and she was, we did some amazing things. And she, you know, introduced Legba by saying what I think you often say too, which is, you know, he's calling in our dispersed wits, right? From the vast. And this is such an important thing. It's like everything starts as one, and then the diaspora goes way, 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 way out there. And we do this even every day. And then calling it back in, I made up the word simspora, right? Diaspora and simspora. Again, it's all rhythmic, you know, a contract and expand kind of thing. Like, so calling it all back in. So for everybody, you know, and everybody, and then whatever we do for ourselves grants us the spiritual muscle tone to do that in the world, right? So we're gathering our wits and we're sending this out as a blessing to all that we set it up as a hum, right? As a hum, so that it's an atmosphere conducive to the good. It's an atmosphere conducive to everybody being self-possessed, right? Here we go. The American thing. So, So let us know about the fantastic Music as Medicine Festival.
Yes, I mean, that's such a perfect segue with an om coming back in. This is so exciting. We have a lot of groovy partners, World Trust Educational Services, ICASI, the International Cultural Arts and Healing Sciences Institute, Eastside Arts Alliance, the California Arts Council. They're the one that gave us the grant, Laney College, Women Drummers International. We're all coming together for a two-day festival. So on Friday, April the 5th, everybody can come out to Eastside Arts Alliance and experience a sound bath. Now, the trick is it's really almost full. So you've got to go to the website, which is musicasmedicinefest.com, to make sure there's still seats because it was almost sold out. But if you don't get to come on Friday. You can come all day Saturday. We're having a full day filled with rhythm and harmony and wellness as we explore the therapeutic benefits of music. And there are going to be tons of performances by Sisters of the Drum. Spice is coming. Caroline is coming
up. That's adorable.
Lydia Violet. I know, it's really great.
Oh, I know. I know Lydia. Fantastic. It's the usual and unusual suspects. It's the confluencing of allies everywhere.
There's going to be a concert of the plants, actually. There's this amazing, I know, check this out. There's this amazing machine that's called Plant Wave, where you stick probes into the soil and then you put a little clip or a little pad on the leaf and it turns, like, you know, photosynthesis and the sounds of cellular magic happening, and it turns it into music. And it is the coolest thing to check out. So we're going to have a concert of the plants, and there's going to be a kid zone with face painting and instrument making and singing story time and a community mural. And then in the evening, starting at around 3 o'clock, we have this fantastic, beautiful poet named Jaya John who's coming up. And then we're going to have Hand Pan by Debbie Fire, Bata playing with Omi Ashe, Imbira playing with the whole school, the Imbira Diza Soko band. Destiny Muhammad's going to be playing with her trio, the harp. We're going to have Attune, which is Bobby McFerrin's circle singing group. And then we have the Embodiment Project is going to be dancing and more drumming from Sisters of the Drum. And that's the most amazing thing, too, is we have the blessing of giving out these beautiful awards to living legacies in our community, people who have been turning things with music into huge institutional, organizational things so that music can be shared by all. So for example, Women Drummers International puts on this great camp called Born to Drum. It happens in August, and it was founded by this fantastic percussionist named, that you know, Carolyn Brandy. And she—
Oh, wonderful.
I know. And so it's so amazing to be able to honor her as a living legacy. Dr. Anthony Brown, John Santos, Faye Carroll, Linda Tillery. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, including Skylar Jett, Bobby McFerrin, Take Six. Now, Bobby McFerrin and Take Six won't be able to come. Sweet Honey of the Rock is also an honoree, but there are going to be so many great people. Stacey Hoffman, who started, you know, Living Jazz, Susan Muscarella from the California Jazz Conservatory, all these people that have taken music to the next level as not just as a musician, but as someone who turns it into, like, Faye Carroll invented School of the Get Down, honey. So we're going to honor these folk that have turned music and medicine and exploded it and shared it with the world. And it's very exciting. I'm so honored to be able to do this and so proud. And girlfriend, even if there's only one of these bad boys, y'all need to come this year because it's going to be on and popping for real at Laney College from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's going to be groovy.
Yes. No, that's super, super wonderful. And we do super want this. Again, you know, the rousing, the dedication, the kinship with the huge collective field of grief, and then the music to call in what we need. You know, and you've got that South Africa mojo as well, which was like, you know, that caused tyranny to quail, right? Not harm, but just overpowered by the enormous energy of the community as expressed in music. And it's like, you know, so that, you know, and then just more about us and us, everyone, and you and the world. You know, I said your Chiron, your mentor, your change both weapons into music and all of that we've referenced. Your Chiron, 29 degrees Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac. So many people have been playing the Koji prophecy that they made on December 21st, winter solstice. They go, "We are elder brother, you are younger brother." I think there's women somewhere, but my wonderful friend Jerome McGeorge has worked with them for decades and was chosen by them to take them around this country a decade plus ago. And we go, right. But the Kogi say, you know, Earth is on fire, video, we know this, like, oh, terrible. And that everyone has until the summer solstice of 2024 to plight their troth, to make their dedication, And upon that, we'll determine a year and a half later, the winter solstice of 2025, if there is more than 30% of the Earth alive, they say. And so I go, sounds reasonable, right? And then I was like, well, let me look at the astrology. Not that they used it, but what's that's a very distinct, you know, year and a half thing that they're putting there. And I go, well, on the summer solstice of 2024, Neptune dreams, vision, imagination, and music will be stationing at 29 Pisces for a long time on the summer solstice. That's your Chiron. But it's for everybody. You know, talking to astrologers in podcasts, they're like, but what about when Neptune goes into Aries? And I'm like, slow down. It depends on what we do now, what we are dreaming now. Now, between now till the winter solstice of 2025, looks reasonable, has everything to do with what happens and comes alive on a molecular level. So Chiron will stay, or Neptune will station at 29 Pisces on the summer solstice of 2024, and then it stations and then retrogrades, goes backwards, and then begins to go forward and stations again at 29 Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac, on the winter solstice of 2025. And it's like, wow. Well, that is distinct.
That is.
And it's part of flora, fauna, fungi kind of backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We've got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. But it's like, let's make everything that has ever moved humans to kinship, that has ever moved humans to participatory kinship, available in a fresh new way. And I think that's part of, you know, and it's hooking its arm through you. It's like, I'm also talking to you, Michaela, because you were born with Chiron at the last degree of the zodiac, which is so intriguing. You know, to carry everything of beauty with us into the adventure. You know, wow. Yes. Yeah. So there.
I have to brag on you for 1 second. Y'all listeners, hello. When I first met Caroline Casey, in exchange for me doing a show with her, she read my chart. So when she read my chart, she did not know anything about the accident, but asked me, Pluto went retrograde. You took a big long trip in August and I had no idea what you were talking about. And then it hit me as you kept asking me and probing like about this moment in my astrology star chart that manifested itself as this huge moment in my life. And it blew my mind that this deep ability to read the stars that you have it's incredible. I mean, like, I hear you talking about stationing and all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, sounds cool. But your deep level of understanding it and translating it for all of us folk out here in Muggleville, I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Right. Well, we do call it in, and we dedicate to that is the person I want to be, you know. And we sometimes are that person, and then we. Anyway, but you know, it's really pertinent now. You know, so all of the oldest children of my siblings have all had psychotic breaks, like really big, like, you know, the world's on fire. And they didn't recognize their parents. But I was so honored because my niece said, even when I was, you know, going to the underworld and it was on fire and it was, you, Caroline, Auntie Caroline, you were in a bubble in my bloodstream, going, no, there's ways to navigate this. You're going to be fine. Wow. Here you go. And she said, wow, she had to be careful to not crush me. I'm like, oh, I'm so honored. And then in a moment of lucidity, she opened her eyes and said, you know, I'm having this breakdown for my father because I know he'll never get around to it. And I go, that is a genius thing to say. It is a genius. You know, and I told her later and she said, I said that. And I go, you did. And it was genius and true, too.
Wow.
Right. That again, there's a field around families, you know, and if not, something's not expressed, it comes down on the vulnerable expression. You know, if there's things not being addressed in family or culture, you know, it those who are spooky and therefore for whom music is most necessarily healing in a way, you know, are carrying and acting out the ritual without mentors, right? Without mentors. Right. And so we want to be the mentors. Right. We want to pick up on these traditions. But yeah, and so
it eats out of the gate. just like you described. Let them dance around.
I'm sorry, say what?
Let the demons out of the gate.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to commit hubris because you never know. But I prefer the spiraling model, going, all right, what does this want to be? And you know, with people in deep distress and sometimes not available to usual conversation, very psychic open. You know, going, here's there. This is the underworld. Because part of you know what we're all up to and what you're up to. Is and what you know, I had this great dinner with Merlin Sheldrake, who will be at Bioneers, you lucky people, on Saturday at 12:02, I think. Right, it was something like that. The notes are somewhere. But yes, and we had dinner talking about you know, how to restore our relationship to the underworld, right, which is the mycelial world and the everything world, and saying, right, the underworld, when did the underworld become a bad place? And it's like, oh, priests, right? Before there were priests run on fear. Before that, the underworld was a deep place, a place where our souls speak more deeply to us, right? So our English prefix dis, D-I-S, D-Y-S, means underworld. So any dismay, disappointment, disagreement, oh, wow. dis takes us to the underworld where our souls can speak more deeply to us. So it was understood as part of being a human to know how to go to these deep, deep places, you know, and to be deconditioned and cooked, you know, into dedication to something larger than oneself. And so that's what wants to happen in a way, you know. And then, you know, I was talking to Merlin Sheldrake about this, and I go, and also the whole visible realm. And he goes, it's my whole life, you know, redeeming the underworld. And it's like, yes, it is, lad. Yes, it is. And you do it with your wonderful books, Entangled Life, and the talk he will give it by an ears, I think, at 12:02 on Saturday, I think. Super wonderful. But yeah, no, and that's also part of your dynamic. Like, how do we cooperate? You know, it's like either we cooperate with these large intelligences and big forces, or it happens to us.
Yes.
Right. So you know, again, a great ally, J.R. Null. Just we call in the ancestors seem to be here. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we want to honor them.
Let's do it.
But
yes.
J.R. Null, wonderful. He said that the thing about music and the underworld is Orpheus could go through the underworld because his dedication to his music meant that the underworld had very little to munch on. Isn't that nice?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so I like that, you know. And once when I was having an extremely detailed IRS audit, you know, and Pluto was on my midheaven, and the auditors were so thrilled to be auditing an astrologer. They're like, "What in your chart brought us to your door?" And I go, "Well, Pluto's on my midheaven, you know, and I haven't been completely conscious about the thing, you know." But Jay said, "If you have the right Orishas, the right gods on your altar, this will all go well." You know, so here's the scary part of anything, and then what's the ally part? You know, what's the ally part of the underworld? You know, that we summon and have intimacy with to and fro. You know, the initiation into, well, the underworld is a place of initiation, and it's like it, but you can't fight it or it will drown you. It's the example I always use from the Potomac River. Hi there, river. Which has, you know, it looks calm some places. It's pretty wild. It's been drought and flood right now, poor thing. But there are these keeper currents that go from the surface down to the bottom and back up. And if you fall into one and you try and swim against it, it will drown you. Right. You have to go all the way down to the bottom and come up the other side, which takes a lot of faith. It's like, ooh, my little feet, are they touching mud yet? Are they touching mud yet? And it's like, no, go with it. Go with it. It's stronger than you. And then pop up the other side. And I think that's part of the dream news now, which is like, oh, God, you know.
Yes. Can I interject and say there was something else that you dropped knowledge on me when we were looking at my chart? You said, instead of falling and flailing, turn and dive. And I often feel like when I feel out of control and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening right now? I think of that phrase and I'm like, all right, let's turn and let's go down on purpose. Let's be clear that this is what's happening with intention and with a target and get your feet to the bottom of that eddy that you were just describing. And it
right. Well, that's actually lifted from Buddy James Hillman, first guest on this show, who said the only advice he would give anybody is when you find that you're falling, dive. Right? So it's like, all right, everybody, point your toes. There we go.
That's right. Yeah.
And that brings us to you know, part of our honoring and the Jupiter. Well, there's the eclipse, and then right after that, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on April 21st, not to fetishize a particular day, but, you know, it is a powerful boon to our unworthy rogue species, going, here you beings who are doing such a terrible job, here's goodness and opportunity to really plant and implement the culture of reciprocal blessing and humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, right? Here you can do this. Or yes. Planetary death and tyranny, take your pick. You know, so it's a big offering that we want to be available to,
yes.
You know, and to be agents of, you know, it's such a dangerous time because Jupiter-Uranus, it's big changes, and the backstage gods go, oh, good humans, be sure to animate the desirable good changes you will like, because good changes are coming, and you don't want to leave it to the Dementors, right? To go, well, I'll show you chaos and authoritarianism and planetary death and Project 25. If any Republican wins the White House, then we're going to abolish the EPA and abolish all regulation on everything, and we're going to abolish all women's rights, and we're going to abolish... I mean, it's planned. I mean, it is planned. It's like, all right, everybody, it's time to know about everything and to go, and yes. to have obatala, you know, what is truly best for everyone, you know, yes. let it guide our voting, let voting be a devotion, a prayerful act of magic, you know, in some form. But yeah, so a lot's on the line. It is dangerous.
A lot on the line. And so good to be clear about the turn and dive so that we can, but like you said, vote with devotion, because that is important for us to get out and vote. Get out and vote.
Right. Well, yes. So if we find that we're falling, dive. There we go. If we find that we're falling to diving. Well, and Hillman got that from Jung. So James Joyce had a schizophrenic daughter, or that's modern psychotalk, and he took her to all the great healers of Europe, and they washed up on Jung's doorstep, and Joyce kept saying, she's not crazy, she's a genius like me. And Jung was like, oh, let me have a conversation with her. And Jung came out and said, the difference is, you're diving, she's falling.
Mm.
So that's the difference between psychic and psychotic, right? Is like diving, which requires mentors, right? Again, mentors. And that's, you know, this eclipse and this everything now, just for the fun of it, if, you know, whatever we have a name for, we have a relationship, right? And we have endogenous receptors for cannabis and DMT. Mm. We have endogenous receptors for myth, you know, going, yes. Mm. Inner and outer, our inner Chiron, inner mentor, centaur, who can do impossible things. And then just to, I learned really most of what I know about Chiron from Dale O'Brien. Hi, Dale. Gratitude to all of our colleagues along the way, Diaspora and Simspora. But I love this part of Chiron too, because he starts the school for future cultural heroes, like you do. Their tasks are impossible. They're always successful when they study with Chiron. So in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a positive strategic advantage, because if you're going to do something impossible, might as well make it a surprise. So I love this part of it. I love this part of it as a liberating thing, because, you know, for all the infighting that can go on among good-hearted people, or the harumphitude, it's like, we don't have time for this, really, team.
Right.
You know, those people don't respect me, they don't see me, they don't know who I am. See, in Chiron's mythology, it goes, how excellent. You get into Chiron's school. Just don't tangle. Just go, what good fortune. Whew, that's good. Right, to turn the like argy thing into like, no, it's a freedom. You think it's a prison, it's actually a freedom. And then there's a lot of prison masquerading as freedom out there too, you know, people being conned by their desire to not be conned. And so any kind of lucidity we want to waft out there.
Can I ask, so for the eclipse, do you have any suggestions on how to like hold that day? Like, what should we be thinking about?
Well, I will be in Texas because I couldn't resist, even though I dilly dallied in my plane ticket is like a mortgage. It's like, oh, all right, that'll teach me to dilly dally. It's for all of us. I mean, it's crisscrossing America. The first eclipse, well, in this continent was 2017. You know, Oregon swooshing down, crossing San Antonio. This one coming up from Mexico. You know, going through Texas, going through, you can see the maps on the weather, all the way up to New England. But it is, the two eclipses are crossing on San Antonio. So it's like, So the metaphor, wherever we are, you know, and it's spooky now, we're already in its field, is may this be eclipsed by this, right? Oh, wow. May cruelty be eclipsed by kinship. Just everybody, you know, it's metaphoric participation, but it wants to happen. It's endogenous. You know, if you're in a total eclipse, it's like, yes. It's such a powerful time. And you know what I did on the equinox, but I'll just say it again too. I'm so charmed by the NASA scientist's interview. She's been studying the origins of the moon for the last 2 years, and says, "Well, here's what we think. There was a body in space shaped like a bow tie. We didn't have a word for it, but we called it Symvestia after the goddess Hestia, because it was going to be our future home. And then that bow tie gets struck, you know, and it begins to form a circle, which will be the future Earth. And in that circle, in the center of it, forms the moon that is spinning inside the future Earth. The future moon is spinning inside the future Earth." And it's like, oh, that's really trippy. And this is science. I love this. Then there's another strike, and the moon emerges as an independent body, but they were one thing, you know, and they are, she calls them twins. The moon and the Earth are twins. And that makes the eclipse even more wonderful, because it's one thing becomes two, and at the eclipse, it's one thing again. Wow. And for all of us just to feel that, everything that starts off as one and then gets diaspora, and orthodox and goes far out there. But now it's time to take all the goodness of the adventure and come on back in. So the just everything real, everything symbolic, you know, an eclipse. What would you like eclipsed? By this. It's a fresh start. It's a profound new moon, and it's and precise new moon, and it's a marvel that we live on the only planet we know that can have eclipses equal size, sun and moon. We're meant to be equal. You know, and you know, may speciesism be eclipsed by kinship. You know, let's keep going. That it wants to happen. You know, and that's part of everything in the world. And Israel having its Uranus transit well into 2025, and Uranus insists on the experiment of equality. It says either you work with this or it happens to you. Take your pick. You know, either we work with something or it happens to us in a way we don't like so much. So it's better to participate. But yes. Do you have a deep ocean song? Neptune is quintile Ceres right now. Again, irresistible eloquence from the ocean to the earth, just so we can kind of feel whatever you think we should feel. I just hand it to you, darling.
Yes, I will sing a rezo, a prayer to Yemaya. Oh, yale, yaluma, yale, om yale, ayamba om. Mama, Yemaya,
And yes, and so Yamaya is Big Mama, right? It's our Big Mama.
Yes, exactly.
Come on home to Big Mama. And of course, that is the solstice where Legba hands the baton to Big Mama. But everybody, come on home to Big Mama. And right now, Big Mama is, the moon is in Scorpio. Everybody, come on home to one's wizardry, one's wizardessy, the part of us that knows how to cooperate. It's like, you know, Inquisition over, still terrible, terrible things going on in the world, but safer for everybody to unfurl and explore all of our participatory skills, going, right, ooh, yeah, a willingness to cooperate. So, yeah, as we want to waft out blessing, but I like the planets just representing large, you know, things that suffuse creation, but they really want us, Uranus trickster, dancing with everything, in a beautiful sextile to Venus exalted in Pisces, going, the awakening of kinship in all hearts, the dissolving of false boundaries. And Uranus says, here's the deal, you humans. I am coyote, I am raven, I am seeds that sprout after cataclysm, I am nature's ingenious resilience, and I'm here to be your booking agent. You just tell us what, we'll do the how part, and all I want from you to seal the deal is a statement of, we're available and we're willing. So, we're available. Ooh. And we're willing, right? So,
you're available, so, and we're willing, I say. Dissolving
so
division.
Let's
yes.
Up. Yeah, and let's remind people about your beautiful, beautiful music fest and the Olympia, the cleansing, the thing, music. It's Music as Medicine Fest, FEST.com. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, right? April 5th and 6th. And the Olympia, the sound cleansing. All right, I will be there telepathically, darling. That's wonderful.
We will
and
feel
any
you.
Any brief, we're on our way out. Any blessing, wishing, you want to
yes.
waft out right now?
I do. I want to say, Yamile Odo, Yamile Odo, Baba Ashe, Semi, Saramoe, Yamile Odo. Shun's blessing to all of you. May you feel love, may you feel joy, may you feel the honey of the heart pouring gently over you. And we will sing to your beautiful ocean heart when you come next weekend. Yay!
Mm-hmm. Yay, yay, yay. I love you, darling. I'm Michaela. May we kahoot in perpetuity. I'm Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show on Patreon. You can find out more. And I love you, Kirsten Thomas. Wonderful, wonderful board up in charge of the invisible. Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, darlings, see you. Well, we'll reconvene next week, and we are in cahoots in perpetuity. I'm Michaela.
Yes, love you, sis. And in person.